I don't know if we have any folks watching who are Icelandic, but maybe some of you know that Iceland is a nation of book lovers. Icelanders read more books per year than people in most any other nation. Perhaps this would have always been true, but the cultural tradition of reading really took off in World War II. Foreign imports were heavily restricted at that time, and most everything was very expensive. But paper was cheap, and books were easy to come by. So during the war, at Christmas time, with little else on the market, books became a very popular Christmas gift. So popular, in fact, that soon the Iceland book trade began to save the release of their new titles for the year to release all at once in the final weeks of the year. In November of 1944, the Iceland Publishers Association flooded the market with new books and distributed a free catalog to every single household in the country. Every single one. And the whole country went nuts for it. They loved it. And the tradition of Jólabókaflóð, or the Yule book flood, was born. Every year since, Icelanders anxiously await the National Free Book Catalog to arrive in their mailboxes in November so they can plot out their Christmas gifts and their winter reading plans. On Christmas Eve, books are exchanged, and everyone grabs a cup of hot chocolate and heads to a cozy corner of the house to read for the evening. The whole nation slows down. Everyone settles in for a few days of quiet reading. Now, here in America, I, for one, am used to a little more hustle and bustle around the holidays and less of that cozy, quiet time. Shopping and holiday parties, furious baking and holiday stress usually fill up my December. And on Christmas Eve, I enjoy the long-standing tradition of going to a Christmas Eve party to laugh and talk and be merry with a room full of family and friends and twinkling Christmas lights. There will be no Christmas Eve party this year. There will be very little hustle and bustle, as most of the festivities I enjoy, all of which involve getting people together indoors, have been canceled. This makes me sad. And for a while, I've been nervous about it. For months now, I've been worrying about the holidays. I've been trying to figure out how to pull them off in my own life and for my family, yes, but also here for all of you at People's Church. There's so much tradition and magic and wonder at this time of year, and I can't stand the thought of us missing out on any of it. So I've been worrying about making sure that everything we usually do can still be done. I've been racking my brain and going to webinars and consulting with colleagues and staff, as David can attest, on how exactly to create holiday magic in a global pandemic. I have to figure this out, I have been saying to myself and anyone else who will listen for a few months now. I got to thinking, maybe I'm not the only one having this train of thought. Perhaps this is what politicians and school administrators have been thinking this year too. I gotta figure this out. I have to figure this out with kind of that flood of desperate wishes for solutions and workarounds and finding just the right way to make things seem normal. Sure, the stakes are higher for them rather than my feeling that we have to figure out how to create holiday magic this year. Their mantra has been some version of, we've got to get the schools open again, or we've got to get the economy going again, and for very good, appropriate reasons. I don't need to tell you that schools do so much in our society. They provide for educational learning and for emotional and social development, nutrition and safety, among other things. And our economy literally keeps the gears of our society turning, giving people their livelihoods, putting food on the table of America. Without a functioning economy, we simply cannot survive. So it's complicated. I don't pretend to have answers or policy solutions. I am definitely not smart enough for all that. When I look at the options to open schools or not, to open businesses or not, and every possibility in between and otherwise, all I see is suffering everywhere, all the way down. This is a difficult time, a monumental time in history. No doubt what we do and how this year will impact generations. Lives depend on it. But I've started to wonder lately if the anxious pace and desire that I've noticed in myself and in society around me to make sure that everything is the same as it was last year is a little less than healthy. I've started to wonder what it would look like if we turned away from this desire and towards acceptance. What would happen if we simply accepted that things are going to be different this year and for a while to come? In the reading we heard today by Tara Brach, we heard about a woman stunned and upset, frantically searching for solutions, answers, and fixes to the news that her mother has breast cancer. Perhaps some of you can relate to a story such as this. No one wants to be sick. No one wants a loved one to be sick. No one would wish that on anyone. No one wanted the coronavirus pandemic. And yet it happens. It is happening right now. And when illness happens, when the world turns upside down and delivers us an unwanted diagnosis or a twist in the plot of our lives, all sorts of reactions can come up. The one I notice the most frequently is that folks want to fight and be brave and resist and go to war against what it is they don't like or want. Again, for maybe good, appropriate reasons, life is worth fighting for. But every now and then, perhaps we could take a rest. Perhaps we could slow down, be still, and accept reality rather than fight it. We could create more room for peace to dwell within us. Brach calls this the sacred pause. She writes about it as a blessing. When the woman in the story slowed down enough to notice her mother's feelings and need to simply be present in the moment, rather than planning ahead and fighting, she entered the sacred pause. The sacred pause is not a permanent place to be. We're not talking about apathy or giving up. But if we are open to the sacred pause, it can deliver a powerful blessing. Brach says, "The blessing of a pause is a shift from being in the grip of the controlling self, which is our more familiar identity, to in that pause, opening to inhabit loving presence, a sensitivity that can then respond to our world with some wisdom. This is the gift we receive from the sacred pause. The ability to let go of control, to be present, and to respond with wisdom." Earlier this year, sometime in midsummer, I heard an interview on the radio with Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, and recent appointee to President-elect Biden's COVID-19 advisory board. And he was talking about managing our expectations for the year and how to accept what we were living through. When asked what to do about the schools, Dr. Osterholm said, "No one argued after Katrina hit Louisiana that they would expect schools to be the exact same as it were before the hurricane hit. And it wasn't that we had any less emphasis on the very things I just noted are so important." And here he's talking about the academics, the nutrition, the social support, the safety, development. And he goes on, so I come back to the fact that it's time that we just understand we're going to have a COVID year. Let's just accept that. Back in July, I was really surprised by this comment. I didn't want to hear what sounded like a dire prediction for the year, even if it was based on science and reason and contained the wisdom of experience from a renowned infectious disease expert. I wasn't ready to accept that this would be a COVID year. I didn't want to live in this reality. But as we continue to live with the coronavirus blowing through our world like a runaway train, I have been returning to Dr. Osterholm's comments over and over again. And now, strangely, I find them comforting. This is going to be a COVID year. That's it. It won't look or feel like last year or the year before or any other year because it can't. Perhaps we can accept this and make peace with it. I wonder if this is how folks felt in Iceland during World War II. Like everything was different. There was no way life could go back to the way it was before. And so when the holidays rolled around, it was either pretend that things were the same as they always were, or improvise and get creative. Today, in this wild year of 2020, in our own holiday season, that is most unusual, I wonder if we might take in the story of the Yule book flood and learn something from what the Icelandic people did back in 1944, when everything was different and there was simply no way to go back to the way it was in the 1920s or 1930s. They invented a new tradition. Rather than cleaving to the old ways and forcing the impossible, they slowed down. They took a sacred pause, and they read books. From this place of acceptance, they found a way to enter stillness and experience peace. As Eckhart Tolle says in his book, Stillness Speaks, whenever you deeply accept this moment as it is, no matter what form it takes, you are still. You are at peace. This is my wish for all of us this year. Acceptance, stillness, peace. I'm going to miss the hustle and bustle. I'm going to miss the Christmas parties, the holiday gatherings. But I'm trying to accept that it's just going to be a COVID year. The good news is it's not permanent. There is light at the end of the tunnel with vaccines on the horizon. And by this time next year, I look forward to telling stories about 2020 over a cup of hot apple cider and a warm fire. May that be true. To get there and to make sure everyone is with us, we just have to hang on a little bit longer. It's going to be difficult, but we can do it. We can stay home. We can stay hunkered down. We can get through this time. We are all tired of social distancing. Believe me, I have a toddler at home. I would love to go outside of the house and see other people and let her interact with other people. And this is why I'm inviting us to turn inward towards acceptance today. The holidays are going to be strange, but they don't have to be terrible. And there are a couple of things we can do to prepare ourselves, our kids, and our loved ones for a safe pandemic holiday. First thing you can do is talk about it now. To avoid any misunderstandings or hurt feelings down the road, make a plan and talk about it with your family members and your friends. If you have young children at home, tell them what's going on and what they can expect this year. Scale down. That's what we say every year, isn't it? This year, we're going to scale down and simplify. Well, this is the year to do it, my friends. Simplify your plans. Go quiet. Be still. Read a book. Go for a walk. Get creative. There are things we can do this year to celebrate. We can have Zoom dinners with family. We can send greeting cards and care packages. We can drive around town and look at the holiday lights. We can decorate and care for our own homes, and we can call friends on the phone. And of course, there may be other things that I can't even imagine, but you can. So get creative. Look for spiritual opportunities. Perhaps the monastics were onto something, huh? The journey within is often overlooked when we can fill up our days with activity. So this year, look for spiritual opportunities in this forced monasticism we're all living through. What spiritual practices can you engage at this time? What big questions can you sit with that you normally don't have time to do? And finally, accept reality. Stay home, keep yourself safe, keep everyone safe and healthy. Beloveds, this holiday season is going to be strange, but it can still be meaningful. And if you find yourself on Christmas Eve feeling lonely or sad, remember the Yule book flood. Grab a book, grab a cup of hot chocolate, head to bed for a night of stillness, peace, and comfort. All of Iceland and many of us around the world will be joining you. May this be so. May we be the ones to make it so.